Let's get to Adam Pengilly. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, TK. Morning, Laurie.
Yeah, good. I'd like to have an Everest runner that actually ran down the tail of the field.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad thing after Racing New South Wales and the ATC have finalised the prize money breakdown for this year's race. And the big winners are the horses that finish in the second half of the field. They're getting a $100,000 increase if you finish from 7th through to 12th, up to $400,000 in total for each of those runners. When you compare that to the winner, who's only getting an extra 50 grand to 6.05 million, it's definitely a ploy to try and make this race sustainable in the long term for these slot holders, reward those slot holders have horses that don't finish in the placing. So I don't have an issue with this, guys. I think it's quite a smart move, to be honest, to try and help cut some losses for those slot holders, and hopefully it'll ensure the race is around for a lot longer yet.
Yeah, well, it's certainly creating plenty of debate, isn't it, the Everest, and we're talking about it all year round. It's a bit like the Melbourne Cup. Plenty of people will continue to talk about the Everest, and there's still a couple of slots that are available for some horses, and we'll see some of those horses race over the coming weeks. Talking about one of those horses, is Vega Days on the radar for an Everest slot?
Yeah, potentially, Laurie. I had a chat to Anthony Cummins yesterday, and he's very keen for Vega Days to sort of follow the Sunlight path or the Sunlight model in taking on the Everest and then going to the Golden Eagle 2 weeks later. So when you consider those two races are worth a combined $21.5 million, Anthony's got some pretty ambitious plans. The problem for him is that he realises there's only really one slot available in essence with James Harran. I think James might need to take out a restraining order against Anthony, given how much he's going to be hustling him in the next few weeks to try and pick up his slot. But it's a really crucial time for Vega Days tomorrow in this Missile Stakes. Don't tell me it's a small field. I know people expect Elise to win this race, and some expect her to win it pretty comfortably. But I think Vega Days has got the most to gain from this. Anthony is adamant the horse is going well. He's adamant the horse can measure up to that Everest level. He said, well, what's the point of keeping him home in his box? I need to get him out there and showing these slot holders what he can do. So that's why he's up and going early. Personally, I'm not quite sure whether he can beat Elise, especially in a small field with her turn of foot over 1,200 metres. But if he can finish within a length of her, that's going to be a pretty good sign for his campaign going forward.
We've got some key trials at Warwick Farm today.
Yeah, we do, TK. Pierre is the headline horse out at Warwick Farm there a bit later this morning for Greg Hickman. He's obviously heading towards the Everest. He's a horse that potentially could have been and probably should have been standing at stud and starting his stallion career in the coming months. But connections have decided to keep him in work, and he's picked up a slot for the Everest. So he's the main horse we want to watch out at Warwick Farm today. And then another huge set of barrier trials at Randwick on Monday with, you know, some horses like Enticing Star, Arcadia Queen, Classique Legend, Prince Farwaz, who won the JJ Atkins up in Brisbane, all returning to the track publicly for the first time on Monday. So looking forward to see how those horses come back. But yeah, most focus on Pierre this morning.
Who do you like at Rose Hill tomorrow?
A couple of bets, Laurie. This Rosebud looks a pretty tricky race on paper. I keep coming back to Dawn Passage. I think he's there to run well there tomorrow. Race 5, number 2, Dawn Passage. I've liked his trials. Getting on a dry track is good. And they've chucked the blinkers on for the first time. So it shows a real bit of a tent to get him up and going early in his campaign. So I'm happy to side with Dawn Passage. And I thought the best value, it's only going to be Robinson Crusoe here. I was doing the form last night and then watched form line afterwards and saw that Brad Davidson was tipping up race 7, number 3, Desert Path in the staying race. Mm-hmm. I thought his first up run at Caulfield over an unsuitable trip was really good. He's out to second up, out to 2,000 metres. I might be going off one run too early, but double figure odds, I've got to have something on him. So race 5, number 2, Dawn Passage, and race 7, number 3, Desert Path. My two bets at Rose Hill on Saturday.
Yeah, Costello's also in that race. It was terrific last start in race 7, but geez, it's nice and tight in the market now, 350. I think it might have opened 5. You got to be quick to get a price these days, Adam.
You do, TK, and I think Desert Path opens around $23. Yeah. I missed the boat there, but I still think in double figures he's still a bet. I know Costello's going to be hard to beat, but I think he's at rock bottom odds now. I'm happy to play Desert Path.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about trying to find the right odds, isn't it? So race 5, number 2, Dawn Passage, and then race 7, number 3, Desert Path. And I'm pretty sure that Brad, when we chat with him in about an hour's time, I think Brad will give that a pretty strong push at good odds as well. Good on you, Adam. Hopefully you have a successful weekend.
You too, boys. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll speak on Monday.